much like the drum found in the song we were looking for this morning, obviously under a different title, but 884. That's where we took our sermon from this morning, and we're going to do, Lord willing, part two this afternoon. It's so good to see those of you that are back. As Brother Lonnie mentioned in the announcements, we're grateful that you're here. It's good to see our rededicated sister April with us this afternoon, and her good daughter Christina with her also. We're just rejoicing over that. So this morning we looked at a few thoughts of consideration about what God has done to keep you, to keep me, to keep the world, and there's Kristen out of hell. It's good to see Kristen back with us. She's been gone for a few months. Good to see her also. Yeah, but what God has done to keep us out of hell, and we looked at the point that God has sent his only begotten son to keep us out of hell. Point two was, God has revealed how we must respond to his word to keep us out of hell. The third point was that God has exercised his patience to keep us out of hell. Point four was that God also has extended a loving invitation to keep us out of hell. And the fifth point was God has shown us the horrors of hell to keep us out of hell. I hope that lesson was beneficial to each and every one. It was obviously beneficial to our sister April that the word of God cut her so deep to respond this morning to renew her dedication to God and get back in fellowship once again. And if you're here under the sound of my voice this afternoon and you need to do likewise, that's what God wants you to do to keep you out of hell. God doesn't want you to go to hell. The devil wants you to go to hell. Who wants to do what the devil wants to do? Think about that. So this afternoon, we'll flip this coin over and see what God will not do to keep you out of hell. Alexis, good to see you and the kids. I better look over real good and see who else. Sister Daniels, good to see you and your daughter here also. Good. Again, Nicole and the girls, good to see you. Yeah, what God has not done and will not do to keep you out of hell. Well, let me suggest to you point number one, God will not do this. God will not take away your freedom of choice. In God's creation of mankind, God gave mankind the ability to make up your own mind, to make your own choices. God did not make us like robots where we're controlled by every move and every thought by God. No, he has given us free will. Free will. Free will to choose what we want to choose in life. Let me ask this. Have you ever made a bad choice in your life? Maybe I can preface that by saying this. Raise your hand if you've never made a bad choice in your life. Of course we've made bad choices in our life. Well, what am I going to do about that? What can I do about that? Well, I'll tell you what we can do. I can sit at home and agonize and twist my thumbs about it all night long and say, woe is me. Poor old me. I can do that 24 hours a day. But I choose not to. Bad things have happened in your life. Bad things have happened in my life. And what we do with those bad things determines our eternal outcome. I can let that just stew inside of me, boil up inside of me. Just eat away at me like a cancer. And guess who's happy when that happens? Yeah, the devil. He wants you to think negative. He wants you to think about all the wrong that's been done in your life. We got a choice. I can listen to the devil or I can listen to God. Such is the case in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If you'll turn there with me. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It's shortly after God's creation, you know, that after God had created man and he breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and man became that living soul. And then he saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone. So he said, I'm going to create a helpmeet for this man. And then woman comes on. On the scene, God takes a rib from Adam and he creates a woman. And Adam would say in Genesis 2 and verse 24, "This is now bone of my bone, she's flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man." All right? Now, Genesis chapter 3. Man and woman are now placed in the Garden of Eden. Now, the serpent was more cunning or more subtle, depending on your translation, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, this is the serpent speaking, "Has God indeed said?" You see, he's already putting the seed of doubt in Eve's mind. Has God already said what? "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden"? Yeah. Yeah, that's what God already said. And the woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." What have we got here? I said a moment ago that God will not take away your ability to choose. Now, Eve has a choice. To listen to the devil, this serpent speaking to her, or listen and remember what God has already said. God said, don't eat it, don't touch it, because when you do, you're going to die. Let's keep reading. The devil said, "You shall not surely die." So Eve can believe the truth, or she can believe a lie. Let me ask you this question. Have you ever believed a lie in your life? Let me preface that again. Raise your hand if you've never believed a lie in your life. Yeah? Yeah, we've done that. Do you remember who the father of lies are? Do you remember John 8:44? Where Jesus called the devil, he's the father of lies. He was a liar from the beginning. Jesus is going right back to this account that we read in Genesis chapter 3. The devil told Eve a lie. Now she's got a choice. You see, when Eve reached for that forbidden fruit from the devil, God didn't. "Eve, remember what I said, don't do that. Don't eat of that. Don't you touch." No, God didn't do that. God let Eve make her decision. Does God let us make decisions today? Yeah, because we're free moral individuals to do that. I decide what I want to do with my life. It's my choice. Sadly, if after my life on this earth is over, and if my soul would wind up in hell, who can I blame? Who do I point to because I ended up in hell? Can I point to God and blame God? Oh, no. Old Job said it straight in Job 1:22 long ago. After everything he suffered, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." It's foolish to try and blame God for our bad decisions. It would be foolish for us to try and blame God if we end up in hell. If we end up in hell, it's because we chose to go to hell. I want to emphasize that. It's because we made the decision to go to hell. So I say again, God will not take away our freedom of choice. Joshua said it this way in chapter 24, verse 15. He has the whole camp of Israel before him. Joshua succeeded Moses. Moses had died, and now Joshua's in charge, and he's been serving God as his mouthpiece. And he told the nation of Israel, "I want you to choose this day whom you're going to serve." I mean, Joshua just put it out there to the camp of Israel. Make up your mind today whom you're going to serve. You can serve the God whose your father served. You can serve the gods over there, the Amorites, in whose land you're now dwelling. But for me, for my house,
We're going to serve the Lord. Brothers and sisters, have we made that commitment? Above all else, have we determined, since we're free moral individuals to make choices in our life, have we chosen this house is going to serve the Lord? And let me say this. If you haven't made that decision to serve the Lord, I want you to call a timeout and see how that's working for you. How's that working for you when you choose not to serve God? When you choose not to put God first in your life, how's that working out for you? Yeah, let's just chew on that just for a second. Don't you know there are blessings from the Almighty when we put Him first in our lives? Come on, someone say amen. That's exactly right. When we serve God, His blessings begin to fall upon us. But it's our choice. Choose you this day, and I'm exhorting you today, just as Joshua exhorted the camp of Israel thousands of years ago. Choose today. If you need to establish your faith once again, if you need to renew your dedication and your love and your service to God, choose today and do that. Second point, what God will not do to keep you out of hell. Hey, God won't choose to keep you out of hell. But I thought God's a God of love. I thought He loves everybody. Well, He does. But do you remember what Jesus said in John 14:15? If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. See, God has already done His part. He's sacrificed His Son, as we looked at this morning. Now, what's His Son want from us? He wants obedience. Hebrews 5:8-9. Though Jesus were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, that is being made complete, He became the author of eternal salvation. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to who? Do you see that in verse 9? To all those who obey Him. If you're anticipating eternal salvation, and I pray God we are, then we got to obey Jesus. You see? We've got to obey Jesus. Again, I'm saying God will not choose to keep us out of hell. In 1 Timothy 2 at verse 4, Paul writes to the young evangelist, and he basically says this, that God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now that's what God wants. God wants all mankind to be saved. God so loved the world that He gave. Remember that from this morning? Yeah. And so it is in this parallel passage that God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, look what else God did. We use this verse this morning. We'll use it again. Revelation 22, verse 17. John writes that the bride says, come. And let him who is athirst come. See what God wants? And whosoever will, you see that? Whosoever will determines, makes up their mind, whosoever will, let them drink of the water of life freely. The water of eternal life. Drink it freely. Have you made that choice? Again, we're saying that God will not choose to keep you out of hell. If you get to heaven, Reggie, did you say something about that in your prayer? Reggie wants to go to heaven. If we want to go to heaven, guess what we got to do? We got to obey God. We've got to obey God. I can't go ahead and live my life any way I want to live it. I got to submit to God. Here's how James says it. James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit yourselves to God. Submit. Be under God's direction. Submit. Be under God's rule. submit, be under God's majesty. Therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil, James says, James 4, 7. Resist the devil, and what's going to happen to the devil? He'll flee from you. Do you believe that? We either believe it or we don't. Listen, that doesn't mean the devil's not coming back. But when you submit yourself to God, you've heard me say this many, many times, when we submit ourselves to God, we have less trouble with the devil. Why? Because I'm devoting all my time and my efforts and my strength and my energies in pleasing God. That's why verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and what will God do? How about that? Yeah, God will draw nigh to you. So again, God will not choose to keep you out of hell. Point three, boy, I wish all the world was listening via our live stream today. I don't know how many's listening, but here's where the religious world misses it. Just one area where the religious world misses it. The religious world thinks God is such a God of love that everybody's going to be saved, regardless. I'm here to tell you that God will not save you in your sins. And I'm here to tell this congregation, God will not save you in your sins. Now, how do we know that? Well, Jesus made the bold statement in John 8 at verse 24, unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. You say, oh, well, I'm clear there, man. I believe in Jesus. Well, I may not do everything He asks, but no. Can't play games with Jesus. We can play games out here, all right? Can't play games with Jesus. You know what rule number one is as a Christian? God first. You know what rule number two is? Don't forget rule number one. God first. That's our answer. That's our solution to serving God and to go to this place that God has prepared. Listen, God will not save you in your sins. Revelation 21 at verse 8. John writes again, we used it this morning, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the sorcerers, the adulterers, the fornicators, all of those evil people, and all liars will have their place in the lake of fire, which burns with what? Fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, when you read that verse, does that sound like to you that God's going to save these people in their sins? I mean, here's a categorization of sins listed. And what did He say the end result was going to be for them? The second death. So God's not going to save folks in their sins. Yeah. Not going to happen. 2 Thessalonians 1. Paul writes to the members of the Church of Christ in Thessalonica. They had written to Paul. Hey, Paul, we're feeling the heat. I'm being Christians. You know, it's getting tough. I'm being persecuted. Or we're being persecuted. Can you help us out here? And Paul writes there at verse 7 in response to the request. What's he say at verse 7? And to you who are troubled, to you Christians who are troubled and being persecuted, rest with us. Breathe in. Rest with us. Verse 8. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. How about that? Does that sound like God's going to save folks in their sins? If you don't believe in God, you're hellbound. If you don't obey the gospel, you're hellbound. That's what that scripture says. But wait a minute, it doesn't have to be that way. That's what we're wanting to get across this afternoon. It's by your choice. You choose either to accept God or you choose to reject God. It's your choice. No one else's. Point four. God will not change His revealed will to keep you out of heaven. Now, what are we alluding to here? The psalmist writes in Psalm 119 at verse 89. Psalm 119 at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Did you get that? Did your Bible read that way? Your Bible read that way. Your word, O Lord, is settled. There is no bargaining with God's word. There's no changing God's word. Yes, it says what it says and it means what it means. In Acts 10, verses 34 and 35, from the event of the household of Cornelius, Peter's just, he's called away. These are Gentile people. But earlier Peter had that vision, you remember. There's nothing unclean anymore, especially with any race of people. Acts 10 at verse 34, Peter says, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation. You see, it doesn't matter what color people are. In every nation, he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted of him. How's that? You stop and think about that. Listen, is God going to change that before the judgment day? There we are at the judgment seat of Christ. Oh, sorry, you're of the wrong nation. Can't let you in. Sorry. God isn't going to change His revealed will. The gospel is for all men. That's why it's called the Great Commission in Mark 16. That's why it's called the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, 19 and 20. Stop and think about this. In Acts 17 at verse 30, Paul told those idolaters in the city of Athens, Greece, he looks around, and all he sees is idol after idol after idol after idol. And he said, I perceive you are just too superstitious. You're wrapped up in all this idolatry. He says, now at times of this ignorance, because that was ignorant worship, he said, at the time of this ignorance, God overlooked it. King James says God winked at it, but not anymore. But now he commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Now what's our point here? What's this point about? God will not change His revealed will. Are we going to get before the judgment seat of Christ and appear before Jesus and Jesus say, oh, you didn't have to repent after all? No. No, they're not going to hear that. It's what it is. Jesus said, I'm telling you, unless you repent, you're going to perish. Luke 13:3. Luke 13:5. It's reemphasized. You're going to perish. God will not, listen, He will not change His revealed will. John 12:48. Just real quick. John 12:48. Jesus says this. He who rejects me and receives not my word, the same will judge him in the last day. Do you think when we get before the judgment seat of Christ that Jesus Christ is going to have a different standard to judge us by than what he's already judging us by? No. My words. He that rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The words that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. Here it is, church. Think about it. You want to go to heaven? You want to hear Jesus say at the judgment day, "Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into my joy. I'm going to make you ruler over many things." You want to hear that? Then do what this book says. Now, if you want to hear something different, keep the book closed. And you'll hear something different. You'll hear this: "Depart from me, I didn't even know you." That's what Jesus says. Yeah, so as we look at this, that what God will not do to keep you out of hell, our last point is this: God will not give you a second chance. Come the judgment day, you won't get a second chance. We talked about his long-suffering this morning, didn't we? That long-suffering implies second chances. Sister April, you had a second chance. But when we die, it's over. No second chances. Okay? No second chances. Again, Hebrews 9:27 is the point: a man wants to die, and after this a judgment. I'm going to lose it here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 2. Paul says, "Today is the day of salvation." Luke 19, verses 16 through 31, the narrative about the rich man and Lazarus. We remember that story. Let me ask you, when the rich man died, when he realized where he ended up in torments, okay, in the Hadean realm, this isn't hellfire, this isn't Gehenna, this is the waiting place of torment before the judgment day. What did the rich man want? He wanted a single drop of water to cool his tongue, "For I am tormented in this flame." That's how the scriptures say it. He didn't want a full glass of water. He wanted a single drop of water that Lazarus may come over here and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. Hey, did he get that single drop of water? No. He didn't get a second chance, did he? No. But Abraham put it right back on him. He said, "Son, don't you remember in your lifetime, Lazarus received the evil things and you the good things. Now the tables are turned." See, Lazarus, he just wanted the crumbs. You remember that? He didn't want a full course meal. "I want the crumbs. Give me the crumbs. And listen, that's okay if the dogs are licking my sores, even while I eat the crumbs. That's okay." Well, now Lazarus is comforted, and you're in torment. Can I say this about that text again? We've already established that when we die, unless the Lord comes back first, the transition the Christian makes, let me qualify, the transition the faithful Christian makes into paradise, don't you know that the Lord sends his angels to carry our soul? That's what it says in Luke 19. Or Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. It said Lazarus died and the angels came. The angels came and carried his soul to the bosom of Abraham, a place of comfort. I've shared this with you. I'm going to share it one more time. Well, it won't be one more time, but anyway. July 21st is coming up. That is the anniversary of the death of my mother. And as she was dying over at St. Elizabeth, when it was St. Elizabeth, in 1999, she was on the west side of the hospital, facing the west, and the sun was going down, we had the windows up, or the curtain up. We knew it would just be a matter of an hour or two, according to the doctors. You know what we did? And I'm not saying this boastfully. I'm just saying, here is that blessed assurance that we sing about. We started singing, "My latest son is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest triumphs now are past. Or my triumph has begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snow-white wings to that immortal home." What an exit. What an exit. My mother didn't know we were singing. She was too far out of it. But we got comfort from that. Well, let me tell you, each day you and I live another day, our latest sun is sinking fast. Our race is nearly run. Are you ready to meet God when your race comes to an end? So yes, church, there are some things that God will do that he's already done to keep us out of hell. And there are some things that God will not do to keep us out of hell. God says, here's your life. I'm blessing you in your life. What are you going to do with it? Your choice, remember? We're talking about choices. Free will. My choice to live a godly life. My choice to live an ungodly life, even as a Christian. Think about that. What choice have you made today? Again, I want to use Sister April. Example. She's been out of duty for years. Are you listening to me? For years. What if she had died during that time being out of duty? According to the Bible in Luke, the 16th chapter, she would be in that place of torment with the rich man. Now that's what the Bible says. That's not me passing judgment. That's what your Bible says. But because of the long suffering of Almighty God, look what happened. Look what happened. Is there anyone here this afternoon who needs to do likewise? Just as Haggai says in chapter 1, verse 5 and verse 7, is it time for you to consider your ways? To really think and think deep about your spiritual condition. You know why? You may not be here tomorrow. Now, we may think, well, chances are I will. There's a chance you might not. Then what? Then what? Hurled into eternity in a nanosecond, your soul leaves the body. As the spirit without the body is dead. Right? You need to make any changes in your life. We're encouraging you to do just that. Alright? Think seriously about it. What did it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your own soul? What profit have you gained? Think about that as we stand and sing the song. Let me encourage you, please.